Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear just from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And you can also listen to our show as a podcast on EWTN Podcast Central. Just go out to ewtn.com/radio. /podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
A lot of forward slashes there.
A lot of forward slashes. Now, today we have on our show John Price. Now, John is an author and a speaker and the president of the Fatima Family Apostolate, and he lives in Hansville, Alabama, with his beautiful wife, Teresa, and their 10 children.
That's a great
thing. And today he is here with us to share about the importance of the Fatima Family Apostolate, his connection with Father Robert J. Fox, and the importance of Father Fox's much-needed book. It's a beautiful book, it's on the Eucharist, and it's called Heaven and Earth Unite. You could go out to the website, fatimafamily.org.
Well, it's wonderful to have John back with us. It's been like 6 years or so since we last had him, and I've been desirous to get him back on. And so he's going to give us some updates on his Fatima Family Apostolate and what's going on with all that. And then, of course, Father Fox's book. Great title, The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite.
Yes.
That's true. But what is that about? How is that happening? And he's got so many wonderful chapters here. In the book, The Biblical Roots of the Eucharist, all the mysteries of Christ are in the Eucharist.
Mm.
Eucharistic adoration, the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Angels, and so on. So it's a tremendous book, EWTNRC.com, EWTNRC.com. Get the book there. Father Robert Fox, The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite. It's going to be a blessed show. We're so glad that you're partaking with us. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is John Price. Now, John is the president of the Fatima Family Apostolate. Go out to their great website. It's fatimafamily.org. Well, John, we are excited to have you back on At Home. It was a while ago. We were in a different set, different location, and here we are. Times are changing. We want you to tell our family a little bit about John and your beautiful family, and then how you met and Father Fox.
Okay. Well, I'm grateful to be here again. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And always look forward to coming to EWTN. And like you said, at home, I feel at home here. Mm-hmm. And I thank you all for that and really being great hosts and everything. So, but yeah, my family, my wife, Teresa, I met her in Louisiana. We got married and we have 10 beautiful children.
You do.
And they do a lot of different things. My oldest is 22 and my youngest is going to be 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a good stretch there. And it's always fun, you know, even in the faith, you know, praying the rosary or Eucharistic adoration is always challenging but also good, you know. And I really didn't have this great knowledge of Fatima and the faith until really I met Father Fox and to get a deeper feeling of the faith. And I met him, my cousin-in-law called me and said, hey, we're doing some remodeling on a house, and it's for Father Fox. So I went with him to do the remodeling. And I started talking to Father and I'm like, wow, this guy's amazing, you know? And he started talking about books he's written and the magazine. We had a magazine at one point, the Immaculate Heart Messenger. And I was just always intrigued by people that can write books, you know.
I think it's like 50 books or something.
Yeah, close to 50 books. And you're thinking like, wow, how did he do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started getting more talking to him and inviting him to dinner, and he came and done some spiritual talks for us at different events that we've had and stuff. So, and I just really just kind of, we had a connection, you know, and people come in our lives. You know how it is. People come in your lives and you're like, you look back and you see that connection. You're like, that's where my life changed.
Wow.
And that's kind of the situation with him. I met him and I always wanted to write, but, you know, I didn't do very good in English, so in school.
You were on here for a book that you had written, which was just excellent. The name of the book again?
It's The Miracle and the Message, 100 Years of Fatima, and it does really well. It was an Amazon bestseller at one point.
EWTNRC.com.
They have it, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
So I met him, and we got this, you know, I started seeing the writings and learning more about Fatima, because before I met him, we were doing the rosary every night. We were doing wearing the brown scapular. We were doing the first Saturday devotion, my wife and I. But I didn't really kind of understand that, you know. And so after I met him, I started getting a deeper, a more in-depth into this message. And it's like, wow, this is such a beautiful message. And it's a beautiful message for the family that families can do together. And so once I met him, he asked if I would write an article for the magazine, so I wrote on parenting and family life stuff, and that's where I started writing.
Which is right up your alley.
Yeah. I don't know how good I'm doing at it, but we try, right? We do the best we
can
as parents, and you know, and let God and get our Lady to take care of it, you know, everything, and it'll work out, you know. So I met him, and then that's kind of where it took off, and I just, I didn't really become involved in apostolate till later, till when he got ill. He was going through some challenging times with the apostolate. He was in Alabama. He was a diocesan priest in South Dakota. He retired and came to Alabama to be by the shrine. And then he was the one who actually got the second mass, the 12 o'clock mass at the shrine. He would do that every day for six and a half years while he was at the shrine. So he really wanted to be here and be close to EWTN. He loved EWTN, he loved Mother Angelica. And
she loved him.
And it's just, they did a lot together. And so as he got sicker, I got more involved. And I think the breaking point was this. It was when the organization was like in South Dakota, I mean, not South Dakota, Minnesota, and things were kind of getting a little, he was in Alabama in Minnesota, the headquarters and the books and things like that. And it was causing a lot of stress on him. And bringing in Eucharistic adoration with this is this. I went to the church and I knelt down, I prayed, and I asked Our Lady and Our Lord, if you want me to help Father Fox, I will. But I need a sign. I was going to be, you know, sometimes you just, because this is a big ordeal.
Sure.
You know,
right.
Because I could tell he was hinting along that, hey, I need help here. And I heard the most beautiful bells that you could ever hear.
The voice of God.
And then, you know what I did again? I didn't believe it.
Oh, boy. Then the bell hit you in the head.
Well, what I did was I did the same prayer. I said, if you want me to help Father, I will. And guess what?
What?
The bells rang again. And I never heard them again. So that's how it all started.
So when you say the bells rang.
It wasn't the church bells.
Oh,
it was just an interior
ringing.
Bell.
Yeah. It was a calling, right?
Yeah. So it's just like, wow. Now, you know, and it was, at the time, you know, I was, a lot of my kids were young. Mark, you know, my oldest is 22. He was probably seven.
Yeah.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
So we had a young family, and it was just, I don't know if I could take this on.
Right. You know, that's that a kind difficult of, season.
Yeah. So we're going through all this, and I'm building houses. That's my, what I do as a profession. So it's just, it was a lot, you know. And so, but I knew that Our Lady, after that, I knew that I had to do it. You know, it was something I needed to do. So. Yeah.
So he was a diocesan priest, you said, in South Dakota?
Yes.
And then retired.
Yes.
And began to develop this apostolate, the Fatima family apostolate. So we crossed paths, but he was before me, my time. I know he did a good bit of work with EW10 on air and maybe a live show and other things. So I think there's a lot of people that, that remember him. He passed away when, approximately?
Okay, so he passed away in 2009.
Okay.
And so he did a lot of shows. He would do like the Mother and Jacques Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He did some shows on the side, too, that were teaching shows, series.
I just remember seeing him. We probably said hello to one another as we were on campus someplace somewhere. But, you know, how much can you tell just by looking at somebody? But he looked very peaceful, happy, centered, a lot of looking up. You know, I don't look up a lot, but he just kind of looked up, and he was like a presence with him that was like really special. Well, and, I could see how you were drawn.
Yeah, and I think what drew me too was his reverence to the Eucharist, his reverence at Mass, the way he said Mass, the way he loved Our Lady. Oh my goodness, it was just like a love for your mother, you know, type of love.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is just, I want some of this, you know, I want to be a part of this.
Where did his devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, I mean, I assume every priest has that, but I mean, this is like extraordinary what's going on. How did she reach him or he to her? Did he always have this or
what? I think what the biggest thing that happened, so he already had a devotion to Our Lady, like you said, he already, and most priests, like you said, do. So, but to get to Fatima, that's a whole different level. What happened was there's a gentleman, a good friend of mine now, he was a religious brother, and he would bring the international statue, the miraculous one, and he brought it to Father's Parish in 1974 in South Dakota.
Wow.
And so Father was like intrigued with this, and he said, Father kept me up for till past midnight asking me questions about Fatima this and Fatima that and all kinds of different things. So Father said, I want to go to Fatima. And the brother said, well, I'm going in October. I'll meet you there at the airport and we'll go. Well, Father got to the airport, the brother wasn't there, and Father still went to Fatima.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, he started 1976 or so, he started working with some other apostolates that already were involved in the message of Fatima. And then once he started his apostolate, the Fatima Family Apostolate, he started that in 1986. And he started bringing, the big thing of our apostolate that I can't do now is that he would bring youth, almost 150 youth to Fatima. He did that for 20 years.
Wow.
And they say that 200 of those have either become priests, religious brothers, or religious sisters.
Wow.
So, you know, the fruits of the apostolate are there.
How beautiful.
And we have this, you know, I could talk about this, the museum we have on the way to the shrine.
Yeah.
There's pictures of these pilgrimages in the museum, and I'll have a priest come in and say, there I am.
Oh my God.
There's my friend. He's a priest. There's my other, he's a priest.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, you know, when you see that. And I think that's what kind of keeps me going.
Yeah,
you
know, of all that.
You kind of like, you got to keep building, you know, you keep going because there's so much here, you know, Father's work, his writings, I mean, he wrote so much, you know, he wrote for the Wanderer, the OSV, the Priest, Our Sunday Visitor, National Catholic Register. He wrote for all these.
Wow. So when Father came and relocated to Hansville, did he live at that house? Because when you come down the property, going into the shrine, is that where he lived?
So what he did was, when he first moved in to Alabama, he lived in a house that was kind of in the woods, and he liked people. So he's like, I'm not used to this. So he moved closer to the shrine where he could be closer to the church.
Yeah.
And what he did was he, somebody had built the house for him. He didn't own it. And he lived there. And so after he passed away, my wife and I bought the house. We lived there for 5 years. And of course, after 5 years, we're busting out the roof.
Right. You were being fruitful and multiplying.
You need a house builder. You're a house builder.
Yeah, I know. We're like, where do we go now? No. But, so then somebody came up to me. I had some prayerful people on that road, and even my thoughts too. What do we do with the house? I mean, I'm in the rental business too, where we rent houses.
Okay.
So I could easily rent the house, and especially there. But I was like, we got to do something special here. It's Father Fox's house, and he has so much information, and we can teach the message of Fatima, and that's what we do at the museum.
So that house now is the physical museum for the apostolate.
And so. Lauren, my daughter Lauren, runs the museum when I'm not there, and she's pretty much there more than I am. Now, somebody will call and say, I want to talk to me, or, you know, then I will go over and meet her. So.
Yeah.
But she kind of takes care of the museum.
Beautiful.
There.
So you still have people who are coming down, taking a look,
Yeah, we still have people come through, and it's not a lot, but it's profound when they come.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of non-Catholics.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. Yeah. They don't know anything about, you know, a lot of the Catholics don't know about Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
So the non-Catholics really don't know, and you're kind of telling a story, and they're kind of looking at you like, I never heard of this before in my whole life. And what are you talking about? But it's kind of when you show them the pictures of October 13th with 70,000 people out there in the mud. That's what I love about Fatima is it has a lot of witnesses.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of miracles and apparitions out here. But Fatima has the witnesses, and it also is the nucleus of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Fatima's confession, adoration, rosary, Eucharist.
Changed life.
You know, it's just it's our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I love about it, and I think that's why we kind of try to push it and continue to get it to families and that they can use it in their daily life.
Right.
That was an interesting image that you just kind of described of the work of Fatima, miraculous things happening, but the rain, the mud, and somehow the revelation of Fatima really gets down to being in the mud. You know, where it really is happening, in the clay, in the whatever, and God really meeting you, you know, in the midst of that very, very deeply.
And it's like, you know, when you think about it too, it's three little children. It reminds me of Mother Angelica, a religious nun, and doing this. I mean, it's just the power of God, and it just shows you how much God loves us, because He can do so much through us if we say yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key, is saying yes. And a lot of people don't say yes.
We're going to take a break at this point, and this is just a delight to speak with you and help us to understand this wonderful man, Father Fox, and we'll get into his book a bit more, whether today or tomorrow, thank God, you're going to be with us as well. We're going to take a break at this point. Pray that this is an inspiration to you, John, sharing with us his love personally and humility before the Lord and our Blessed Mother and the work of Fatima that continues to this very day. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are wrapping up our conversation with John Price. Now, John, why don't you tell our family what is different from the Fatima family apostolate and other Fatima apostolates?
Well, I think the big difference is the word family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so most of the other Fatima apostolates, they're great. Great apostolates. Anybody that can go out and spread the message of Fatima, that's wonderful. Our apostolate, we're really trying to focus on the family, to where we teach the message of Fatima, where the family is praying together. They're saying the rosary together as a family. They're wearing the brown scapular as a family. They're doing the five First Saturday devotion as a family, working together as a family. So most of the other apostolates, they kind of focus on the individual a little more, which we do too. I mean, if an individual says, hey, I want to learn about your apostolate, we're not going to say,
right.
We don't tell you. But so that a lot of them focus on the individual. There's some that focus on different aspects, like bringing a statue around or just having events. And ours is pretty much online through books, through writings, short videos, things like that. And we're trying to reach families that way in our own little way, you know. So that's kind of the difference, really. We just want to really get the families. Because, you know, the last quote from Sister Lucia was what?
Right.
Attack the final battle will be between Satan and the family.
Right.
And are we in that final battle?
We are there.
So what do we have to do? We have to start with the family, start in our own house and evangelize and bring the faith to the family inside the family.
Right. So. And that's where the real formation is happening anyway. Priests and religious come from families.
That's right.
They don't just fall from the planet. They are being formed in families, right?
That's right.
And so it's really catching this faith and this love and hearing God saying, what is God saying in 2025? Well, here he's saying the same thing we are up against mm-hmm. with a great battle in the family. What is my weaponry to be a Christian, to be a Catholic that's on fire, and to understand this and take it not only to myself but to a dying world that needs right. salvation?
I mean, like you said, holy families have holy priests, holy mm-hmm. bishops, mm-hmm. holy popes, mm-hmm. holy cardinals,
right.
holy politicians, right? Right. We right. need a lot of that mm-hmm. going around. So if we start with the family, start with our own families, I think sometimes we get where we worry about other people's families mm-hmm. too much. Or mm-hmm. if we're an apostolate, we want to save the world.
Right.
We start one family at a time mm-hmm. and get the information to the families that they can grow in their daily spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Fatima Family Apostolate
does.
The
power of prayer and doing that together. And, you know, there's just some things that moms and dads could do for their children mm-hmm. that no one mm-hmm. can do, including popes or anybody else.
And they have to take the time to do it. They have to take the time to do it. That is the key. Is there's sometimes when you just get, you're tired.
Right.
We're tired. Mm-hmm. we're parents. We're mm-hmm. tired, right? So, but you had to push through that.
Right.
You had to push through that because it's too important mm-hmm. not to.
Right. You have to be intentional with what you teach, because nothing's going to happen by accident. It has mm-hmm. to happen by intentionality.
John, thanks so much for opening up your heart and how you see things as regards this apostolate, Our Lady, the Holy Eucharist. So we're going to open up a little bit more about the book tomorrow. Thank God you'll be with us. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll continue our conversation with John Price and Father Robert Fox's book, The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite, EWTNRC.com. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.